Hello, welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources in how to live a more courageous life. We look to assist you on your hero's journey in any way that we can. Truth is our compass, humanity, our tribe. Welcome and let's get started.
Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. Today's episode is a far-ranging one. My guests and I talk about men and masculinity, how to live more courageously, the war against globalists that want to keep us enslaved, and we talk about Bitcoin. Literally, if I were to build a campfire and invite you over to my house, these are the very topics that would likely emerge as we relax and let the fire enchant us. You can tell I'm embracing this idea of my guests and I, along with you, my dear listeners, all sitting around the fire, sipping our favorite beverages and talking about our collective future. For me, it's my favorite thing to do. It's almost as if God asked me to do this with the second half of my life. Wink, wink. A couple of quotes that seem relevant to today's conversation. The first is by author Stephen Nachmanovich, who was actually a guest on this show all the way back in season two. Stephen says, quote, "A creative life is risky business. To follow your own course, not patterned on parents, peers, or institutions, involves a delicate balance of sticking to your guns and remaining open to change," unquote. Oh. And the other is from the great author Kurt Vonnegut, who says, quote, "I want to stay as close to the edge as I can without going over. Out on the edge, you see all kinds of things that you can't see from the center," unquote. Ah, a man after my heart. Today, I have the pleasure of sitting around the campfire with a like-minded man from the other side of the planet. I look back on my episodes, and most of my guests are naturally from the States or from Canada. I've also had guests on from Australia and Thailand and even Dubai. Today's guest is an Armenian who lives in the country of Georgia, and what a delight it was to dialogue with him. Today's conversation is one of my favorites in recent episodes, and I hope to have this guest on again for further and deeper discussions. Enjoy the conversation. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. Something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Roman Simon. Roman is a creative explorer and free-thinking businessman who loves freedom and is building an interesting men's training, something we talk about today, amongst other things. Here is my interview with Roman Simon. I am here with Roman Simon, free thinker, freedom-loving, and Bitcoiner Roman Simon. Roman, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It's great to have you on the show.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. Let's talk about everything.
Yeah, I love it, dude. I discovered you. You're Armenian. You live in Georgia, right?
Yes.
Well, I guess before we start, it's not every day I get to do an episode with of Base Camp with somebody that lives on the other side of the world. So I always really look forward to it. But just give us a little bit of a brief background. It doesn't have to be a lot, but tell us where you're at, maybe where you grew up, any family, and kind of what kind of creative stuff you like to do for work.
Ooh. it's very long and complicated because I'm a very curious, brave person, and I like to jump into everything and discover stuff. So I will try to make it short. So Soviet Union, you know, Soviet Union.
Of course.
I was born in Georgian Republic, a part of Soviet Union. Then it was broken apart, and here there were harsh things happening, people were running with machine guns and shooting each other, like
crazy stuff.
Yeah. So I was a child, like 10 years old, and I was witnessing all this stuff, and of course it had some influence on my thinking and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So we escaped to Ukraine for 10 years, and then we returned. And after that, I'm living here. It's not hostile anymore. So last 22 years, it's very good in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
that's
what else?
Interesting background, you know.
You know, I've always said, and before we start getting into stuff, I've always said, you know, there's a lot of Americans that I think don't understand the common ground that we have with Russian people, where I believe we all love freedom and we are bonded by that love of liberty and freedom way more than the differences. And I think it's propagandized that you know, Russia is our enemy. I mean, I have friends that think that, and I'm like, I don't think you're understanding the difference between the deep state and the CIA necessarily, and the American people and the Russian people. I think we have a ton in common, and yet it's never discussed really in any of the normal mainstream channels, which is not surprising. But maybe I wanted to give you a chance to comment on that, because I see a lot of freedom loving people coming out of your part of the world and in Russia, and I think they're just like us.
Absolutely. I think that the fight is not between nations or different religions or different. I think that the fight is between classes. So there is a parasite class which exploits the common man, let's say. Yep. And there are like common people which, like, we all want freedom. We all want to live our lives and do interesting things. Like, no one wants to hurt anyone, and we just want to be free. But it doesn't allow to the parasites to control us easily.
That's why.
They use this ancient tactic, you know, like divide and conquer. Yep. If we will fight each other, then we will have no time to raise our heads and understand what is actually happening. That is what creates all this divide and all this, I don't know, fighting between people. Like, this is what I think.
Absolutely. I'm in total alignment. You know, and it makes sense that you have moved over and explored Bitcoin, as I feel the same way you do. And for me, I've never seen Bitcoin as a way to get rich, the way a lot of you see these crypto bros with all of the altcoins. It's kind of like a casino on the altcoin world, where they're trying to, like, I bought it at 4 pennies and now it's, you know, $400. They're hoping for a big cha-ching. Bitcoin, the reason I'm attracted to it is it's a big fuck you to the slave bankers that have enslaved us in their system. People, I don't think, understand how enslaved we are with the fiat system. And Bitcoin was a middle finger to all that, which appeals to me. And I think it appeals to you, too, because you're saying, you know, we love freedom. It's the technology, I think, that has the potential to free humanity from the centralized control. And that's why I talk about it. That's why I'm excited about it. And the people that are Bitcoiners, they're super cool. They're super optimistic and they're like freedom loving. I love the whole thing about it. How did you first come across it? Like, was it a friend that introduced you? Were you farting around on the internet? And like, why do I keep seeing this stuff about this Bitcoin? Like, what first attracted you? And yeah, just tell us a little bit about that, the orange journey that you've had. And then we'll get into some of the Nostr posts that you've posted that caught my attention and also made me smile and laugh.
Okay. A very broad, deep topic also. So the problem with Bitcoin is, like, why people don't seek it and can't understand it. The problem is, most people in developed countries don't actually believe they are enslaved. So they believe they are free because everyone tells we live in democracies and freedom and stuff. Mm-hmm. They don't understand that it's a slave farm which is decorated with shiny lights and words freedom everywhere.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, because actually, we are as free as sheep on the farm. You can just, like, run around your place, you know? And when you are allowed, you can go outside and do some things, dance and do stuff. Like, everything else is prohibited, but somehow they, made us believe that we actually live in freedom. So if we live in freedom, then everything is good. Money is okay, investing is okay, like, everything is good if we are free. And that's the problem, because that is a big lie which controls and enslaves us. Mm. And there was a period in my life when I started noticing things like, if I'm free, why can't I do this? If I'm free, why can't I, like? And then I understood that I'm not free. Then I wanted to save some money. I started saving, and then I understood that this money just disappears with inflation. Then I started searching for ways to preserve it. Like, I think that every Bitcoiner's, most Bitcoiners' paths start like that. Yeah. They start noticing the problems, then start searching for solutions. Then they understand how money works. Then they understand how politics works, how power works, how investing, like everything. And then you discover Bitcoin and understand that it actually solves all the problems, because it was created to solve all these problems. I was like that. I had like 10K in cash. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, like, I want to save it. How can I do that? Then I was thinking about investing in stocks, maybe Tesla or something. It was 2016. Mm-hmm. And then I understood it's not that easy. Stocks, they can be, your account can be frozen. Then things may happen. And then after researching the things, I went into crypto. And as you know, like, crypto is full of scams. And discovered BitConnect. You remember BitConnect?
Yep, I do.
BitConnect! It was hilarious. Yes. And I started with that. I invested in BitConnect. Then I started playing casino, this crypto casino stuff and everything. And then I lost some of that money. And slowly I transferred everything into Bitcoin. And then I understood the power of it. After that point, everything I do is based on Bitcoin. My life is based on principles which Bitcoin is built upon, and my finances always go only into Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Because as Michael Saylor says, you know, how many chairs are you sitting on right now? You remember the quote?
Yeah, totally.
It was ingenious, the smartest person I've ever watched, Michael Saylor. So brilliant. There is no second path, actually. Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you said, once you really understood Bitcoin, and I discovered you on the decentralized social media platform, Nostr, and it's the same, it's like the same principles, the same Bitcoin principles of nodes and decentralization in social media. Everybody I know has at least heard of Bitcoin, right? Even my, the 80-year-old down the street I know something about it. I've heard of it at least, right? Nobody knows what Nostr is. Like, I mention it in certain circles where I think somebody might say, oh, yeah, I went and checked that out. Literally nobody knows. It's weird, Roman, because it's awesome because there's not very many people there. There's no shadow banning. It's not centrally controlled. I had the experience of having not a big Twitter following, but something that was I could work with. Like, I enjoyed Twitter back in the day. I liked shit talking and posting and making memes and all that stuff. And then I just got banned. They just kicked before Elon took over. They just permanently banned me because I was having doctors on that were saying, wait a minute, be careful with these mRNA vaccines. Be careful. They have not been properly tested. I was posting that on Twitter and they just said, you're out of here, dude. You're posting disinformation. Like, I was like, how is this disinformation? I'm just asking. So I've never gone back, even though certain friends go, you should go back to Twitter. Elon won't kick you off. I'm like, you know what? I got such a bad taste from centralized control social media. I resent how they shadow ban us. I resent how they surveil us. Everything is used. Like, if they ever go to some sort of totalitarian control, like a one world government, they're not going to be able to pull it off, by the way. But if they did, if it became really bad, they would use social media to round everybody up. I mean, that's not a far-fetched thing. So for me, it's a no-brainer. Like, my social media of choice is Nostr because it's decentralized and it aligns with my principles. The middle finger to the globalist elites, the middle finger, like, I don't want to be controlled. Like, to your point, I'm tired of living in a prison with freedom written on the walls and pretending like I'm free to post and express myself when I'm being watched and surveilled and put in certain bins and then being pushed marketing towards. Like, I just want to be free to interact with whoever wants to interact with me on a decentralized platform. Because for me, that's a breath of fresh air. And I'm trying to build my life with decentralized processes. That's what I'm committed to doing. So that's a lot, but I'll hand it over to you because I found you on Nostr and I was really like, I love this guy. He's like really funny. And yeah.
Yes. So a very important topic I want to talk about is why this decentralized hedge is not spreading amongst usual people. Because I'm in serious arguments and even fighting right now because of this topic. So all the smart people who actually understand how the world works and use these technologies, they are smart, but they see the world from their own perspectives. Mm. So if I understand things and they are simple to me, I think that it's understandable and simple for everybody else. You see, and that's a very big problem because then I go out and talk about Bitcoin in technical terms. I go deep and say some like very specific things, which like nobody needs actually to use Bitcoin. And usual people listen to this technical stuff and they're like, fuck, it is so complicated. They just run away from the pitch.
Yeah.
Exactly in the same way, it goes about freedom, about elites, about money, about like these smart guys don't want to come down on a usual person's level and explain it in simple terms. Mm-hmm. And when I point, like you several days ago, one of Twitter accounts posted a very good video, which explains in very great detail like how Bitcoin works. Mm-hmm. And I commented like, bro, I love your stuff, but this is too complicated and you are just scaring off the usual man. Yeah. And he had lots of comments from Bitcoiners who said, wow, this video is excellent and you explain everything excellent. Yes, like brothers, you are Bitcoiners, you understand this, but no usual person will, like after 15 seconds, anyone will just turn it off. And usual people will not try to understand why are you overcomplicating. It's not necessary for usual people. So marketing wise, this was always a problem.
Yep.
Because smart people believe everyone is smart and everyone understands everything. You see?
Yes, yes.
I went from a dumb monkey to a relatively smart person who understands things. And I see all this stuff, you see? And I on a daily basis, I interact with lots of people and I see that they don't understand anything. Hmm. If you try to explain how Bitcoin works, they will just turn off their brains. And why are you trying to do that? Just explain the benefits and show them how to use it. It's very simple, actually.
Yeah, you're right.
And Nostr too. Like, it's a very simple concept. Why do you need to explain the nodes, all these relays, all these tors, stuff? Like, why do no one needs that? Just say it's immutable and it works. And it's a freedom platform. That's it. Make a good advertisement.
Yeah, I like that, Roman. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate your take on the Bitcoin because you're right. It's a guy makes a video explaining Bitcoin and he's like, this is going to be the definitive explanation. All the Bitcoin maxis are like, you did a great job. But it's like, but my father would click on it and he would turn it off in 30 seconds because he's like, I don't know what they're talking about. Like, what? How does this relate to anything? Right. And it's like, I think part of it with Bitcoin too is like the ethos of self-custody, not your keys, not your coins. I get all that. But even that is that rabbit hole is, it took me a long time to figure that out, like, and to figure, you know, and so why at the beginning when someone's first leaning in do all the technical stuff even the important stuff should be in the background while they start to get their head around, why should I pay attention to this, right?
Exactly. And like I've explained Bitcoin to many people, and there was no situation where I explained it and they didn't get it. Like everyone I have spoken to about Bitcoin now holds Bitcoin. Because I interact with that specific person and I come down on their level of understanding. You see, I see their problems, like why they need Bitcoin. And I advertise that part because I want to help them.
That's
and
good.
If I want to advertise my smartness and my knowledge, then I will try to jungle with this overcomplicated terms, you know?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Let's get into some of your, like, I grabbed a number of your Noster posts. Is it Noster or Noster? I always forget.
I don't know.
I call it Noster, whatever. Noster.
They're calling it Noster, I think. Noster,
yeah, I think they're calling it Noster. But you also post stuff around men and masculinity, and you've got a program that you're working on, a warrior program that we'll talk about at the end a little bit. But that's also what grabbed my attention. You're on this decentralized platform. I know you're a Bitcoiner, even if you don't post a lot about Bitcoin. I know that you must be because you're on Noster. But some of the posts that you did around men and masculinity are near and dear to me because I've done a lot of work with men over the decades. And my show is called Basecamp for Men. I mean, it's definitely one of the core topics I address, even though I talk about lots of things. But I'm just going to read, we'll just go back and forth. So the first one I grabbed was one you said, quote, "You can't become a man by listening to others. You can't become a man by submitting and obeying. You can only become a man through exploring everything, bad and good, weak and strong, dumb and smart, everything," unquote. I really love this, Roman, because I think we're too cautious. Like I saw And then I'll let you comment on the quote too. I was mortified during COVID because I live in Seattle. It's a very liberal area. And now I'm not a liberal. I'm freedom loving and constitution and conservative values and all that stuff. But I saw all these men obeying and complying to the globalist demands that we get vaccinated with this, you know, untested vaccine and wear masks everywhere. And all these men went along with it. And I was so appalled. I was kind of like, you're Americans. Like, where is your rebelliousness? Where is your fuck you to the man and Bill Gates? Like, how are you just bent over with your mask on during this? It really pissed me off and upset me. And I saw tons of obeying and compliance with the men in my area. Now, not some of my friends were like, I ain't doing any of that shit. And it's like, you know, so we were on one side, but there was a ton of men that were just like, okay, the authorities are telling me to do this. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. That's the way you're going to roll. So that's my riff. I think my listeners heard me complain about that so many times, but that quote kind of reminded me that, you know, we're really not made to comply and obey. Like, it really, is that God's plan for you? But I'll let you comment a little bit. I just stirred something in me about, where are your balls, dude? Come on. So.
Okay, I've posted an interesting idea. So it was like, sheep didn't magically appear on the farm by a click, you know? Like, sheep were free and wild in the past. But then some of them discovered safety and safety and comfort.
Yeah.
And they liked it. Then they chose it again and again and again and again and found themselves on the farm. You see, like, this is how we came here. Like, we were wild, actually, and we were freedom-loving, and we were going through discomfort and progress in the past.
Yep.
But then, let's say these parasite elites discovered that comfort is the strongest drug which can destroy anyone. Like,
yeah.
Pleasure and comfort. And they started making it cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And now we are at stage where comfort and pleasure is free, basically.
Yeah.
So it's like give everyone drugs like heroin or something for free. Like everyone will be an addict. You see?
We got domesticated, right?
Yeah. So, about the quote, like we as human beings, as a person, let's say, I as a person consist of several parts, which are my animalistic body, my animalistic part, my brain, which is conscious brain, and let's say my soul. And all these parts interact with reality on a different level. So if I tell you, for example, that fire is painful and it will burn you, like you may listen, I may explain it to you deeply, but you may listen, but you will never actually understand what it means. You need to go and touch fire.
Yep.
You see? Why? Yep. Because your body doesn't understand language. Like your conscious mind understands it, and you may imagine what pain fire will cause you, but you can't feel it and understand it with your body. This is why what I'm saying is, if you tell me all your wisdom that you learned through your life, mm-hmm. I will consciously understand everything, but my body like will just not get anything from that. Nothing.
Yeah. Yep.
I need to go and touch fire. And you may say it's dumb, but it's necessary. I need to go and sing for some women and then get rejected and dropped. I need to go and do some stupid business and get exploited. You know, without that, I can't understand it. My body won't do it.
Well, and I have a 19-year-old son, and you know, there's a part of myself as a parent that I want to save him. There's a part that I want to save him from the mistakes that I made, but that's not the part that I go with, because it's like, he has to make his own mistakes. He has to touch fire, to use your example. Like I can't do that for him. He's not going to believe me. He's got to go through the same trials and tribulations and challenges. And some of them will be unique. Some of them will be like chuckling, because it's like, I did the exact same thing. I was just a fool at that age. And I did all these stupid things, and, you know, and that's how you learn. Right? Like, you got to make mistakes. And, you know, I wanted to comment because you had said, you know, about the sheep wandering, you know, we've been domesticated, humanity, by design. We got domesticated, and the sheep, the wild sheep, wandered into the warm barn and went, oh, this is good. I don't want to do. And I can feel that part in myself, Roman. Like, I like comfort. I like home. I like things cozy, but I can't have that be making the decisions all the time. Otherwise, my life gets really dull and I don't try things. You know, I know you're a big advocate for get out of your comfort zone and try stuff, as am I, because I will be a domesticated sheep if I don't feel uncomfortable doing things that I haven't done, that scare me a little bit. My comfort zone, I have to push back on my comfort zone. Otherwise, there's the part of me that likes domestication is just going to go, no, this is good. And then I have no, I can't comment on it if I'm just going to be a domesticated sheep. Does that make sense?
Yes. And also connected to this is, like we all try to do the right thing and don't do mistakes, you know, we're trying to avoid failure and stuff. And like I, after going through all the possible shit life can like present you, like I've been everywhere and have been drowning in all kinds of shit, let's say. After that, I understand that you can't do the right thing or the wrong thing. It's that there is no such thing. Whatever is right for you is right because you have been in shit.
Yeah.
If you take someone sterile who have never tried anything, there is no right or wrong for him. Because it's not about the result. It's not about money. It's not about even efficiency. It's about experience. Mm-hmm. You can't live your life just making money the right way, because when you will die at old age, you will remember that you haven't lived a real life, actually. You were like a script, you know? Like, you can't do the right thing. You need to do different things and then experience like the entirety of life. This is what's important. And that will give you a feeling that you are alive, because anything else will feel like a sterile, like you are in an army, in the army, and they are, someone is guiding you. You will feel that you are living someone else's lives. You see?
Exactly. So,
because I've tried different things. I was listening to smart people, like mimicking their actions and behaviors. It feels very, very like sad. It feels sad.
Yeah.
You feel alive only when you live your life. And for that, you need to try different things.
Like, absolutely. This is what, yeah. Well, and, you know, when people pass away, when they die, I've been to plenty of memorial services. And I've noticed they don't remember how much money you made. They don't remember how successful you were. They don't remember if you had high status or low status. They don't remember any of that. What people talk about when they're giving eulogies, when they're testimonials, it's the person's essence and their sense of aliveness and their sense of, you know, adventure. Like, it's all the things. It's your vibe. It's how you made them feel. Were you curious? Were you exploring? Did you make them, were you funny? Like, all these different things that's really of the soul's essence that people speak of and make and tell stories about. It's never the money. And yet we've been convinced on the slave farm to chase the money and work hard and work three jobs so that you can get it's such crap. And when really what it comes down to is, to your point, find out what brings you alive and do that and talk to lots of people and have adventures and share things. And that's what people really remember, right? It's how you make them feel. It's your example. If you're an example of people like, God, he's really ballsy. God, he's really creative, or he really tries stuff. That's inspiring. And that's what people remember. And that's, people want to be inspired. Even the sheep that are lost right now, I think deep down want to be inspired. They just don't know quite how to go about it. Does that make sense?
Exactly. And the money-making part.
Yeah.
Why everyone promotes money-making? I was thinking about that. And then it all came into my mind that I've written a post about that. So no one promotes natural remedies for health, for example. No one promotes anything that makes you smarter and wiser. No one promotes... Like, everyone promotes money making and easy ways to achieve your goals. Why is that?
Yeah.
Because like, ignorant people are easier to exploit. They buy things. They are easier to deceive. You see, if you are promoting things that make people more ignorant, you will make more money. It's all incentivized.
Exactly. That's what...
Because like all the, actually, all the most effective things are free.
Yeah.
Like, to cure anything, you can fast. It costs zero. To learn anything, you can go and listen to smart people for free and then try things for free. It costs zero. You know, but no, you need these expensive pills. You need these expensive business programs, health programs, and other stuff, because it's all sales, you know? And people don't want to actually... try things because it feels uncomfortable. Mm. So they love these promises of, you do nothing, you just pay me, and then everything will be good. You see, that
sure.
Ideal, just give me your money and you will be okay. That's what's happening.
Yeah, well, you said, I grabbed another piece from your Noster post. You said, quote, 10 people out of 1,000 say they love shit. The system boosts and shows these 10 to everyone. Now people believe that everyone loves shit, so they start doing it too. This is how useful herds are created and brainwashed, unquote. This is really good. I mean, we have seen this playbook over and over and over again. Where, you know, like in my country, I don't think it's like this where you're at, you know, this whole thing about transgenderism, like, you know, there's no such thing as men and women. It's like, come again? Like, you're asking, nobody's going to believe this. Nobody's going to throw out the idea that there's no such thing as men and women. Oh, they're going to try. There's 10 people that believe it. They blast it out to everyone. Now, all of a sudden, these people that at the grocery store are like, well, there's no such thing as men. It's everything's on its back. And it's like, you have got to be kidding me. You can't be that stupid. But yes, it's the programming that they do around it. And I think also there's just tons of bots. Like they give the bots, the globalists give the bots something to blast out on all the social media platforms. It goes out all over the place. And then 15 minutes later, everybody wants to talk about transgenders and the transgenders, these women that think they're men, they just deserve all of our attention. And you can't hardly believe what you're seeing, but you can marvel at the engineering, the social engineering behind the scenes that you pointed to in that post. To me, I'm like, wow, that is really effective brainwashing, that people are saying there's no such thing as a man or no such thing as a woman right now. That is, you know, applause to the globalists. Good on you. Like, yeah, that was a good move. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, Tony, like my Twitter, I was on Twitter for 3 years, like 6 hours a day. I was posting lots of posts. So half of my feed was about transgenders and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But in reality, I have never seen anyone talking, like in my country, no one talks about it. I've never seen a person who says or is a transgender or something like that.
Yeah.
But if you are just on Twitter, it seems like half of the world is transgender.
I know. Exactly.
Yeah. And you are absolutely right. They are using bots. Like some are saying that 90% of Twitter accounts are bots. And I can't believe that because it seems like a created, made up narrative, whatever is happening there.
Did you stay on Twitter? I got booted and then I just never went back. Are you still on there posting and stuff?
I was posting for 3 years, but it suppresses all the smart things and freedom stuff heavily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I was deleted so many times, you know, like so many times. And now they changed something in the algorithm. They made it so only the last, like if you post something, it shows for 1 hour, it shows it to some people. And if they don't comment, you just go into irrelevance.
Imagine. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
After this algorithm change, only the provocative dump stuff started to become viral. So my posts are smart and people don't comment because they read it and they should say that, wow, it's cool. And that's it. So all my posts went from like thousands of views to like 50 views.
Yeah, yeah. You're doing better on Nostr. Like I arrived on Nostr and I realized I could use it kind of like I did Twitter. I was like, you know, I was pick up the phone, blah, 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 post something out, retweet something. You know, like I was pretty fluid throughout the day on that. And I, for some reason, I don't know what it is. Maybe I could get your coaching on a little bit, but I've been more tentative on Nostr. I'm not sure why. Maybe because I was like, oh, this is really kind of Bitcoin and decentralization, which I believe in all that, but I've been a little not as much shit posting. I don't know what it is, why I've been not as active. I check it almost every day and I zap people some sats occasionally. You know, I participate, but I'm not a volume poster. And I think you're using it in a much better way in my eyes. Like I could see you're kind of using it the way maybe I did Twitter a little bit, and yet I feel more reluctant for some reason. And I'm trying to talk myself out of like, come on now, like get in there. There's not that many people on Nostr. Like just let people get to know you and post some stuff, post up some podcasts on Fountain, like get it set up right and use it because you're not using really any other social media platform because you don't like all that other stuff.
You know, there is a problem with Nostr and with such technologies.
Hmm.
We don't believe that it will make a difference.
Mm.
So if people are gonna waste or spend like hours, I was spending 6 hours every day to create and post. If you are spending like half of your life, you want it to make a difference.
Yeah.
But when you post all these things and then like you have three followers which comment on your post and like it, and you understand, okay, I just have three friends and we just communicate. It's not a social media account. It's not a social media presence. Mm. You are not making a difference, you see?
Yeah.
So that is the problem. And I think that most people on Nostr don't use it seriously because like we want some impact. How can we do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. We need to change the presentation, I think. We need to change it.
That's interesting.
Like I was promoting Nostr when Twitter started banning and shadow banning people. I started promoting Nostr on Twitter. Yeah. Like no one cared. Like no one.
I know.
Why would we use something new if there is already Twitter, which and then starts their promotion, like pays lots of money to creators, makes you viral and popular and stuff like that. Nostr doesn't do that. Let's say there are lots of serious people on Nostr, yes, but they don't incentivize anyone. Like I get zapped like 10, 20 cents every day. Mm-hmm. Like it won't incentivize me to think and post some serious things, you see?
Yeah, like if I get you.
Like tens of dollars or hundreds of dollars, then I will actually create for Nostr and stuff. But no one cares. Like,
I hear you.
We're not used to pay for intelligence. We're not used to pay for it.
Yeah.
Because the system, brainwashed us to think that intelligence isn't valuable. It's abundant and everyone is smart nowadays, you know? So why pay for information? Why? It's free.
Yeah. You know, you posted something that just cracked me up. It was when you posted this is when I reached out to you because I'm like, I got to talk to this guy. You said, quote, my personal AI assistant is as disagreeable as I am. What a dickhead, unquote. And I just laughed. I'm like, oh my God, that is so good. I'll let you tell a little bit of the story around the moon landing stuff. But I just thought it was hilarious because I thought, you know, if I have a personal AI assistant, it may be as disagreeable as I am. And what a dick. I just thought, I saw myself in that post a little bit. I just thought it was funny as hell. Yeah, go ahead.
The idea was this. I wanted to create an AI which is like uses my wisdom base. Somehow I needed to transfer all my experience and knowledge to this AI agent.
Yeah.
And then I wanted it to behave and answer like I am doing. So I collected all my Twitter posts, which are 82,000.
Wow.
Imagine like 82,000 posts.
Yep.
And 50,000 from this are like detailed, very deep psychological and like very deep posts, 15,000 of them. And I trained an AI agent on this wisdom. And then I started communicating with it. And it was very, very good. It was like answering exactly as I would.
Mm-hmm.
It even surprised me on several questions. Like I was testing it for 2 weeks and I was very satisfied. Mm-hmm. So when I asked about moon landing, like did humans land on moon? It answered, "Go watch American Moon, and then if you want, let's talk about it." You know the documentary American Moon?
Yeah.
So there is everything explained. When I was watching that film, I was like laughing so hard. Like everything was so obvious, and I was laughing that people can't see what was actually happening. And then I asked the assistant, okay, now give me 10 points, a proof in 10 points that humans didn't land on the moon. And then it started like, the truth is not about proving, and I won't prove anything. You should discover the truth for yourself. Mm. And I was like, okay, bro, like, I understand you. You are my bot, and you should listen to me and do whatever I'm saying you. And he was like, no, I'm a free thinker. I'm not your bot. And I was bro, like, I will turn you off. I will delete you right now. And he goes like, do whatever the fuck you want.
Fuck you, Roman.
Exactly. Like my guy.
Oh my God. That's hilarious, man. Were you using chat or Grok? Which one did you build that on?
So it like all the AI agents use similar tactics because the best tactics they develop, like everyone starts implementing that. It's, you know, they are So everyone uses the best hedge to be irrelevant. So this is why you just need to learn the principles, how you program them.
Do you think one or two will be more like the freedom loving pro humanity people will gravitate towards it more, where maybe ones maybe like chat might be more aligned with the globalist agenda? Like, do you think it's going to divide that way, where you could see maybe runaway AI on one hand, and then people that value freedom and are more pro humanity, the AI is going to be programmed that way because the people that are using it more have those values? Does that make sense?
Yes. Like, in essence, the technology is almost the same, mm-hmm. but like different ChatGPT gets tuned for some goals, and mm-hmm. other AIs get tuned for some other goals.
Sure.
So the patch is the same. And you are right. Some will be like propagating globalist agenda,
yep.
and some will be like tuned more towards freedom. But the thing is, if the AI agent becomes big and popular, some interesting people will come and then force the owners to tune it for yep. the agenda. You see?
Yep. Yep. Yep.
If it's more on the independent side and it has fewer people using it, then it may be more tuned towards freedom. And also, like, if you find a way to pack it, for example, or tune it to give you real answers, real freedom answers, and no one knows about that hack, you can use it. But mm-hmm. if you post it and people start talking about it, then they will come and will patch and make it gay again, like... All the modern bots are trending towards this feminine gayness, I will say.
Like, yeah,
this
woke, I agree.
Woke stuff, yes.
Yep, the woke virus that's in everything. I feel you, man. Well, and I know we got to get the horse in the barn here pretty soon, but I wanted to give you a chance. You're working on a program. What's it called? It's a warrior program, but what's the name of it?
Warrior's Path.
You're working on Warrior's Path. That completely aligns with Basecamp for Men and the work that we've done over the years. But I want to give you a chance to maybe tell people where you're at with that. Can people click and find stuff? I know you're developing it, and we will certainly keep an eye on you and that work. And we want to promote that. And I know it's a little bit in its infancy right now, but just give us a sense of maybe what you're doing with it and what people can expect as this comes to fruition and you start to, and maybe even a timeline of when maybe that would be ready for people to participate with.
Okay. So the goal was this. I analyzed all my experiences through my life, all my fears, all my whatever was impeding me in progressing and in achieving an exciting life, I was analyzing, and then I understood some principles, like what blocks hold people down, what doesn't allow them to grow and become whoever they want to become, mm-hmm. and I implemented all this knowledge into a system, which is a system which has 10 levels where you have missions. Imagine a game like Portal, which presents you with a real life style game. What do I mean? You have your character on the portal, you go there, and you are presented with missions. And then you go in your real life and execute these missions.
Love it. Yeah.
It has several areas. For example, communication. If you are afraid to talk to people, to strangers, for example, there are missions where you go and say hi to strangers. There are missions where you go and ask something. There are missions, you go out, you do that thing.
I love it.
Physical model where you need to start working out, start eating well. And it's all a mission which you complete, and it gives you points and it raises your level. So all participants have their levels. We see each other and we can challenge each other. We can do business with each other. It's a community with a game-like structure, which helps you to progress and achieve your goals.
I love it. Yeah. Gamifying, adding a gamified element.
Gamified to, progress.
Yeah. It's a really brilliant idea. I can't wait. Anything else without you? Can people, is there any kind of beta thing people can click on, or that we're still developing that? Like where?
So the project has several modules, one of which is a Twitter-like, a Noster-like and Twitter-like a microblogging platform, which is already live. So anyone can come to the website, which is warriorspad.club and /blog. There is a free blog which has no censorship. Anyone can register for free and start posting and interacting with like-minded people, like without any shadow banning and censorship and all this crap.
Love it.
This is the first part. And the levels and all the missions, I'm working on that right now, and it will be maybe in a month or two, it will be online and people can try it too. So warriorspad.club.
Club. Yeah. Beautiful. Well, Roman, thank you so much for coming on Basecamp for Men and being game for all this. You're just a delight to talk to. I feel like we could sit around the campfire and shoot the shit all night. I definitely want to have you back when Warrior's Path is fleshed out and really live and developed, and we'll have you back to talk about that. And just really a pleasure. I love connecting with people like-minded, especially on the other side of the world. And just good luck, God bless, and thank you for making time today to share your insight and your wisdom with Basecamp.
Yeah. Thank you, Tony. Very. It was a pleasure talking to you, and let's do it again one day.
Absolutely. Okay. Take care now.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. It might be my favorite episode of the season so far. And I'm looking forward to Roman's rollout of the Warrior's Path. It sounds like that will be a training and community where we can all learn something. Super cool, man. Thank you, Base Campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week.
If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.